Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
So I get to preach. So I'm going to preach a word, and this is just a standalone. Usually I preach in series, and I think I spent more time on this than I do on a whole series. It's amazing trying to figure out what God's saying. We joke and we say it's harder to say, you know, you spend more time trying to say less than when you have like 3 or 4 weeks to say everything. It's like it's so much easier than trying to go, I have one shot to figure out what you're not saying because there's so much going on. But anyway, you know, first world problems. I just bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray the word that God has for you will come out today. And I see you being empowered on your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, your Saturday, not just from the presence, which is powerful, and from the instruction that comes out. But I sense something's going to get kicked open to make a way on those other days. I feel like something's going to happen that you're going to take into your quiet time, into your devotion time, and into your time with God that's going to increase and improve your lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to bring the word to you with what we have here. I had a story to open this, and it was a true story, and this minister, Ravi Zacharias, he was in Vietnam, and he was ministering in the 70s, and he was ministering up and down in Vietnam, and he had an interpreter, and the interpreter was with him all around ministering, and then he pieces out, he leaves, goes back, and everything happened in Vietnam. It went crazy in the 70s, and this interpreter got thrown in prison, so he gets thrown in prison, and he's imprisoned with accusations for helping the Americans. And so 17 years later, he calls and he's talking to him and saying, this is my story. So this is a little of his story. They accused him of helping the Americans and that you're doing this and that. So they throw him in prison and then they just start indoctrinating him with all the Marxist garbage and they're just like coming at him. And before long, it starts wearing at him where he just started thinking, maybe I missed it. Maybe the Americans were lying. Maybe God isn't real, maybe, so I'm just going to stop praying and stop thinking about God. And this was one day. The very next day, he gets stuck on latrine duty. Well, in a prison, that's the worst duty you can get, to go clean the toilets. So he goes in there to clean the toilets, but then here's the basket next to the toilet, and he goes to clean it, and he sees English writing, and he looks at the paper. So he grabs the paper, cleans the paper off, takes it in, and that night he looks at it, and it's Romans chapter 8. So he starts to look at this, and he's like, oh, my goodness, you know. And it starts, as he starts to read it, you know, his roommates, call them roommates, whatever, his cellmates, they go to bed, and he's reading it. And it starts off, you know, we know that all things work to the good of those who love him or called according to his purpose. He just breaks down crying. And then he goes on and reads Romans 8. So next day he tells the guards, he says, I want the prison duty. Give me the bathroom cleaning duty. Well, nobody wants it, so they're like, this guy's crazy. But every day they were tearing a Bible up and using the Bible. So every day he'd get another page of the Bible, clean it off, take it in, and what they thought was trash became the very life source for him to make it during a terrible, terrible time. And the point that I'm making is that there's Bibles everywhere. There's Bibles. You have them in your house. They could be on your shelves. They could be in all these places. They're on your electronic devices. We have the Word of God at our access everywhere. And yet, what some people don't value, there's such power in it. And there's power to bring inspiration. Today, I want to talk about living inspired. I want to come out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that's awesome, but sometimes we read all those words and we're like, okay, that was cool, but we don't break it down. I want to read out of the Passion Translation. It says this, every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature, perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment that God gives you. So if Ephesians 2:10 says you're his workmanship, this beautiful masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared beforehand, that means every day when we wake up and we walk into this mission field of life, we're to walk into a God plan every day. And he's saying that he prepares us to walk into that assignment. Or we're not prepared to walk into the assignment. If you've been a student and you know you didn't do your paper and you're not prepared to walk into your classroom, oh, that just happens with us that are doing studies after we're out of school, right? Is that what it is? No, okay. Have you ever felt underprepared when you walk into something and you feel like, I don't know how I'm going to do this? God, you're asking me, there's a miracle I have to do. Have you ever tried to minister to somebody and you think, there's no way I can break through these walls? But God prepares us, and we can live inspired by God, and he gives it to us. I was thinking about this, and as I was meditating on this message and just about what God wanted to do, he started reminding me of Ezekiel 37. And it was a beautiful picture. I did a sermon last year somewhere in the fall. And I remember the series I was talking about. And I talked about alignment, community alignment. I think I did a series on community, but one of the sermons was community alignment. It was a really great message. It's a really good one. And in it, though, I want to read this out of Ezekiel. I preached on some of these, but I'm not going to re-preach those principles. But I want to tag team off of one of those thoughts. And in Ezekiel 37, verse 3, it says, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them," and here we are up here. I want you to read with me right where it says, see where it says, "say to them" on the bottom line right there with O, 1, 2, 3. "O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." It starts with the word of the Lord. Are you with me? Then all the bones came together. And then we see something powerful that happened. And then he said, the Lord said to these bones, "Surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live." So he took dry bones and became a living army. What's the connection between those? So in that message that I did about a year ago, I was talking about alignment. You need alignment to fulfill your assignment. Are you with me? So when you align with Summit Church, there's an inheritance of Summit Church. There's things that you get in alignment with a family. If you align with Assembly of God, there's a inheritance from that church, and you come into alignment with it. There's an inheritance in that, just the same as if you align with a family, there's a family inheritance associated. But you do come in alignment because we're the body of Christ. Instead of just being an individual trying to be, you know, a mouth without a body or an arm without the legs and the rest of the body, when you come into a body, you come into alignment. God called the form of those bones into alignment, but there was no breath in them. So alignment comes before our assignment. That was back there. But the second step is that after we're aligned, activation comes. After our alignment, activation comes, and we receive our assignment, and we're able to fulfill our assignment. So we were created with an assignment. You were created with a purpose. You were given a mission and a ministry, and you say, well, you know, you're in the ministry. No, we're all in the ministry. It's like saying, that would be like saying the Super Bowl, the coach is in the game, but the players aren't. Wait, the coach is in the game, and the players are in the game. No, the players are in the game, the coach isn't in the game. No, we're the coaches training you for to be out onto the field. Are you with me? The fivefold just train and equip the body of Christ for the work of service, but we're right there with you. If there's a charge, we're charging too. You know, like so we've got to stop that thinking that and this is a mentality of the world, is that the minister's there to do the work. We come to get our needs met. That is a messed up view. That isn't our church. But some churches, they think, we pay you to go do the stuff. There's a problem, go fix it. That's what we pay you to do. It's like, that could be true if you were a hireling minister, but we're not. Sorry, whoops, going off the topic. Back on topic. So action takes training. Is there any military in the room? Any services? Are you trained for what you walk into? My father was a major in the Marine Corps. He was trained for what he went into. Is there doctors, nurses, and medical? Aren't you trained for what you walk into? Is there teachers? I know they're trained and equipped. My wife's a teacher. I went in the classroom thinking I'll be here to help you. I'm like, I came home wiped out. I'm like, what the heck? You get with about 50 or actually 4 kindergarten classes, there's 200 little kindergartners. I'm about to die. I'm like, how do you do this every day? She's trained and equipped, you know, how to regulate that emotion and energy to minister to those kids. Everybody has training. God trains and equips you for what he sends you into. So what happened here is Ezekiel's vision was really about a nation and about a national resurrection. Say national resurrection. He's talking about how the nation of Israel was in bondage under Babylon. Our nation is under attack. Hello, somebody. Figure that out. Our nation is under attack. And with that, it's like they were in bondage. There's a lot of people in bondage in the nations as well. And so that was about a national resurrection where they needed to come out of Babylon, get free from Babylon. And that's what that whole thing was. But what was plural, there's also a singular. So Jesus, we just celebrated what? Easter. What's Easter? Celebration of Jesus' resurrection. But what happens after that? Then that resurrection power is released to us. Hello, somebody. So if we need to walk in that resurrection power, and to do that, there is inspiration that God brings to us daily. His breath was bringing life to that army of dry bones, and it was symbolic of the life he wanted to bring to Israel. But he was also prophesying of the new covenant that we have today, where God breathes and we get that breath or the wind of the Holy Spirit that came in Acts 2. It was right there. So there's a national implication, there's a corporate, but there's an individual that we get as well. And so we can daily live with resurrection power because God created us to be winners. Say winners. We were created to live inspired, not just getting by, not just making a living. What are you doing? Just making it to Beer Friday. It's like, is that all you're doing? You're just making it to Friday? It's like, really? Is this what life? That's not living. You know, and D.L. Moody said this. He said, I know the Bible inspires because it inspires me. The Bible was inspired, and the Bible inspires me. He knows it was God inspired. Now, I want you to think of this. It's kind of like an illustration of, like, if I take this balloon and I put some air in it, how many of you know there's a little bit of me inside of this? Because my DNA is going to be in there, right? Come on, we're in a new day and a new age. My DNA is inside of that balloon. When it gets released, part of me is in there. When God breathed on his word, he wrote it, but it didn't just end there. Part of God is still on his word. And it didn't just get God breathed on once and it was written, and then we just go to it and it's just the written logos. It's just dead writing. It actually has God's DNA still contained in the word. And when you go to it, you still get that breath of God. The DNA of God is still in his word. Are you with me? It's still there. And what God did, he did it for us because we've been created in his image and in his likeness. We have Emmanuel, God in us, God with us. And he's in our hearts. He's in our lives. But God is in us. And so our whole vision statement is leading people to new heights. When God's in you, you'll go to new heights. If I don't have the weight on this, it will go to new heights, right? So God will lead us to new heights. When God's in us and God's DNA is in you, you'll go to new heights. When God elevates light, elevated light is people can see it farther. In Revelations, he said, I'll take your candlestick. I'll stop elevating your life. We're not supposed to be a light under a basket. We're supposed to be elevated. Inspiration elevates us. Are you with me? So that's God's inspiration. So what do you want to be? You want to be inspired or you want to have a life like that? Like, which is it? That or this? It's like, I want God's inspiration. And so So we can be that inspired people. Number one, the God-inspired word inspires us daily. So it says, it's. I like the Passion Translation. He says, it's written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. Every day that breath of God is waiting to inspire you. So the backstory on Timothy is, the backstory is that Timothy was really discouraged. He had the largest church in the world. He's like a younger pastor. They had persecution coming from the emperor. He had persecution. His own people were persecuting him. His own people were leaving the church. They were afraid to go to church because they were getting killed. So he basically was like, everybody's bailing on me. My leaders are bailing on me. They're after me. The government's failing me. The world, everything's shrinking. People are dying. He's like freaking out. And he tells Paul, and Paul's answer is in 2 Timothy. Paul could have told him a lot of things. Even you can see some things in 1 Timothy when he tells him to study to show yourself approved. You can see things in the beginning of chapter 3 in this book where he starts telling him that these things were elementary. You were taught, even as a child, you were raised with the Word of God. And some of us were raised with these foundational truths on the Word of God. But he's now telling him something that's really powerful. And Paul was telling him, he's like, Tim, you need to understand that the Bible's right there at your fingertips. It's right there on your cell phones. It's right on your iPads. It's right in your homes. It's right on your wherever. Where's your Bibles? But Bibles are everywhere. And we're in a day where there's like so many. It's the number one bestseller. It's the Bible. It's right there at your fingertips. And he's saying you can be inspired or you can feel deflated. Tim, I'm telling you, you get inspired every day. And you can live inspired. And we can live inspired. So when God breathes on it, he's still breathing on it today. And we need to see that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, the devil tried to come and tempt Jesus. Sometimes we're tempted. And with the temptation, Jesus used the word. And he came back at the devil. He didn't just say, do you know who I am? You want some of me? He like used the word of God. And when he used the word of God, he came at the devil. And when he came at the devil, it was like a blow when he used the word. Then another, he brings another temptation. He hits him with the word again. Another temptation, he hits him with the word. The devil had to leave. He had to flee and come back at another time because he couldn't take the power of the word of God. Because God is right there and Jesus spoke the word. So he performs what the devil tried to do was to get him to perform a miracle out of the timing of God. He's like, you're hungry, take this bread, take this rock and make it bread. And Jesus wasn't going to do a miracle to satisfy his own hunger. He knew that the power of God was to be used, and he did it and multiplied the bread to feed other people's hunger. His life wasn't about him, his life was about others. And he said, I'm not doing that for myself, I'm going to do it for others. He understood his purpose. A.W. Tozer said, we can't just select a few favorite scripture passages and exclude the others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. We are those whole Christians. And this word, that the word of God has been God-breathed or God-inspired, that word God-inspired, the word inspired is powerful. The first part of the word is a compound word. The first part of the word is theos. And theos is God. So the first part means a special supreme deity. That's God. Theos is the first part of inspiration. Inspiration starts with God, our God. The second half of this word is neo. And neo means to breathe hard, breeze, to blow, just like the Holy Spirit blew in like a mighty rushing wind. It's a wind. It's the same wind as if there was an instrument up here and the worship team had a trumpet guy playing. And when he blows the trumpet, there's a sound that comes out of it. But that's what happens, God inspired. But it's not just a trumpet blast. What it is, it's a blast of life, of inspiration. So God comes to you and he brings a blast to you. So you're reading your word and it's like, I'm reading the word, I'm reading the logos, 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 logos. And all of a sudden, whew, God breathes on something. And then you're like, whoa, look at that. And you get this blast of life that comes out of it. And you go, that is powerful. And I meditate on that one. And I could read, because I'm going to read, because I need all of it. But there's some things he breathes on, and then becomes from logos to a rhema. And when you get a rhema, whoo, you got power. You get inspired. And you can take that one all day long. People say, well, I read my Bible, and nothing happens. It's like, well, maybe you need to do a pre-prayer before you read. Because God's DNA is on it, and it will come. And if it's not coming, something's wrong with that. You can expect it. How many know if you have a sailboat and you go out sailing and there's no wind, you're in trouble? We used to sail a sailboat. We'd be out in our sailboat and there's no wind. We'd be out there and you're stuck. Where's the wind? You flip the sail. All of a sudden you catch a wind. It's like, ride that wind. Don't, you know what I mean? And we'd ride that thing and then we'd have to turn it real quick to get across the channel and zigzag when you're going against the wind. But like, you know, and everybody loves that song, whatever the song is. Like, you're the wind beneath my wings, you know. And you're my, you know, the wind in my sail kind of thing. Can I just tell you this? God is the wind in your sail. If you position your sail every morning, God will breathe into it. It's not going to leave you hanging. He didn't just go, well, you guys sinned. I'm never showing up in the garden again. That's it. You're done. That's it. Last trip to the garden for me. No, he went to the garden and goes, where are you hiding? He sees these little white cheeks hanging in the bushes. It's like a little kid under a chair. It's like, hello, those fig leaves aren't doing such a good job. I see your nakedness, but I'm still God. Where are you hiding? Right there. Who told you were naked? If you position yourself every day, God will inspire you with the word. He will inspire you. Why? Because you were created in his image. You were created in his likeness. You are his child. You are royalty. You are called to shine as a light. He was the anointed one, but then he anoints you. He was the light of the world, but then he tells us, you're the light of the world. He will put the oxygen on that flame so that it sparks up. He will put that wind in your sail so you can get to your destiny. God is the answer, and it's the Theo, God, and then the inspiration. It's the God wind, the God breathe, and he's still doing it today, and he will put it inside of you. And you'll be able to complete what he's called you to. D.L. Moody said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. The Bible will keep you from sin because he inspires you and you go to high heights. Or if you don't find yourself coming because you're in sin, you won't want to go to the Bible because shame keeps you out of that. Like Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes. Come out of the bushes, because when you come to the cross, he promised, my mercies, my grace, they're new every day. You can come back to the cross and say, forgive me, and be inspired again. He wants to inspire you. He wants to breathe on you. And if you find yourself saying, I'm not getting anything out of my Bible, go to him and say, God, is there any reason why I'm feeling separated from receiving inspiration from this word? He'll tell you. Like the gentle words to Melissa. She's in full-time ministry. She's doing more than most of us in this room. But then the Holy Spirit checks her and says, I need your whole heart in the game. And she's like, I didn't know half my heart was out of the game. But she's like, yes, God, are you kidding? Of course. We need to have those moments where we just say, like, I'm going to come to you and I'm expecting my sails up. I'm in position. And if your wind's not coming, forgive me. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me. It washes me. I do it even when I don't even know. I'll pray. I'll pray over my sons. I'll pray over my family. I'll pray over the church. I'll pray the blood of Jesus. Forgive sins. Wash the sins. Help me stand in the gap for other people's sins even. But I want to pray and that and inspiration and worship is a huge key for my inspiration. Because and I'm singing the word of God. I'm not just saying it and just praying it, but I'm singing the word. The word is huge. And when you sing the word. Our worship, a lot of times, we're singing the word of God. We're singing about the presence of God. So his word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Some people say, well, sharper than a two-edged sword, that was pretty crazy. If you study Roman swords, that was those swords were deadly. The two-edged sword was just ruthless to kill people. But can I tell you this? Do you know that the Romans, they practiced twice a day on their thing, on their practice sword fighting? They practiced their sword twice a day. They had a 6-foot pole and they would practice against a pole. Can I tell you what their main practice was? They took the sword and they practiced thrusting the 6-foot pole and thrusting because they knew if you slash someone, you may cause a lethal part, but there's ribs covering it and body armor covering it. If you pierce it 2 inches, the person's most likely to be lethal and die. 2 inches in a vital area, they're going to die. In their day, they didn't have the technology. So they practice thrusting the sword instead of just slicing the sword. The logos is a broad stroke of the word, but a rhema is a direct thrust. Are you with me? Jesus, when the devil came at him, Jesus didn't just go, the Bible says, devil, the Bible says, devil. He listened to the Holy Spirit and he's like, poosh. And the devil's like, oh. He's like, you'll worship the Lord your God and him only. And boom, and then the devil's like, oh. You know, and he kept trying, but he kept getting thrusted because he had a rhema word. So God will put a word in inside of you, and you need to speak that word. And so when you speak it, that rhema, there's life to it, but there's power against our enemies. And God will give it to you if you say, I need a rhema word to battle what I'm battling. He'll give you a scripture. Thrust that word, speak that word, and that two-edged sword, when it comes from God's mouth, it's one edge. When it comes out of your mouth, it's a second edge. Powerful two-edged sword. So, and the second one is from inspiration, we go to activation. And then the end of this passage, sometimes we just go Timothy 3:16, we don't go 17. 17 says, you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. Perfectly prepared or thoroughly equipped in the New King James. What is thoroughly equipped? I love backpacking. When we backpacked, we were thoroughly equipped. Before we went, we weighed out our food. We planned our trip. I got the lightest weight stuff, and we studied. I probably read too much junk, but I love that stuff. I'm reading survival books and stuff. So I'll never forget, I went on this one thing, and I'm thinking, I could lose everything. I'll make it out here. That was kind of my brain, but whatever. I was raised in military father. Hello, that's why. I used to wear all his gear and fight battles in the backyard. That was my dreams. It affected me, I think, in a bad way. No, I'm kidding. But one time I remember, I read somewhere that B1 stops mosquitoes from biting you. So I took B1, you know, and you don't want to take anything you don't have to take. So I took B1, and my brother didn't. He's like, yeah, whatever. He had about more than 50 mosquito bites, probably over 50, stopped counting at. I only had like 8 or 10. And he's like, I'm all bit up. And I'm like, told you the B1 works. They land on you, they start to eat, it's nasty, and they just fly off because they can taste it. So I'm already taking it now because I'm going to Africa in 2 months. So I've been doing it. I'm not kidding. I'm taking like 300 milligrams. I'm putting it in my body. It's like malaria. It's like, okay, I believe in supernatural God, but I also believe a mosquito lands on me and goes, bleh, nasty. There's somebody nice and sweet around us that they'll jump on them. Sorry if you're with me. Start taking your B1. But I'm just saying, like, God will thoroughly outfit you with everything you need for what you're going into. A military is equipped not just with a rifle, but bullets. And not just with, and a teacher is thoroughly equipped. A mechanic without snap-on truck pulling up and all the tools you have, Mr. Bailey, he's equipped. He's got tools for the tools. He's thoroughly equipped to do what he needs to do. And when you don't have the right tool and you're not equipped, what a frustration. When you're not equipped to do the job, but God's not leaving you frustrated. And that's what he says. He will. So the word of God makes us thoroughly equipped so that when that Ephesians 2:10, when we walk into our God assignment, we're already prepared. And a lot of times he's already telling us something before we walk into it. Like, so I already felt like Melissa had something, and I was kind of hinting around. I was trying to figure it out, and I'm like, she has something. She's supposed to have the mic. And I'm like, should I just tell her to go up with the communion? But I'm like, it's not it. And then I watched her during their missions moment, and I'm like, that's what it is. There was like this lioness. Whoa. She's just like, yeah, we need to do this thing. And then I figured it out. Like he already has equipped us, and he gives us a glimpse of where we're going, and the inspiration of God will inspire you. If daily, so what I'm trying to tell you is I hope that you'll go back to that word, daily get in the word. Now, I like the morning. Maybe you like the evening. So what? Just do it daily. But get inspired, and as you're inspired, you'll see great things that come out of your life. And what happened with Ezekiel is there was not only the structure, but then there was the breath. And when the breath came in, they became the mighty army. Are you with me? So I think I just need to be done preaching.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.